That track right there, Wanna Be Cool. It's funny enough that we are now approaching the 10-year anniversary this year of Surf by Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. It emerged as a groundbreaking project that redefined the boundaries of hip-hop, jazz, and soul, led by Chicago-born trumpeter and producer Nico Siegel, formerly known as Donnie Trumpet, and the album was a collaborative masterpiece featuring Chance the Rapper, Peter Cottontail, Nate Fox, and Greg Lanfair Jr. Together, they crafted a vibrant genre-blending soundscape that resonated with audiences worldwide and still does. And in studio right now, we have Nico Siegel. Ooh,
pow, pow, pow. What's up, Vocalo?
Glad to have you. Glad to have you back.
Right? Feels right? Like home. Feels like homecoming.
I think we last saw you, Team Vocalo last saw you at Lollapalooza.
Okay.
You were performing on stage, right? How many stages were you on?
Which Lolla are you referring to? This last
yes,
one?
Yeah, this last one.
Okay, yeah, with
like
Joe.
Yeah.
I jumped up on stage for a song with Joe. It was so much fun. Just took a solo and played a couple lines and yeah, it was awesome.
I know me and Morgan, the digital producer, are like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was super fun.
Was it last minute or
it
you
was
know,
kinda
was it
last
planned?
Minute. No, they were professional about it. They gave me enough time. We had a rehearsal and ran through the music and yeah, it was amazing. It was probably like my sixth or seventh Lolla. So yeah, it was just felt really good. Felt amazing to play that music and yeah.
Now,
Chicago.
That's insane for you. Did you ever think one day you're like, it's like my seventh? Six Lolla? I don't know. We lose track. Did you
well,
ever
I only,
think?
I only thought about it because people were asking me, you know, like, what was your last one and how many have you been, you know? So, yeah, I started thinking about it. And, yeah, since I was, like, 18 or 19 was my first Lolla. So, yeah, played it with Kids These Days, played it with Chance a couple times, played it with Peter, headlined it with Chance once. So, yeah, Lolla's a big staple in Chicago for sure.
Do you get nervous performing?
You know, it's a different type of nerves, I would say. You get nervous about different things, like, let me make sure I don't trip and fall on this big stage, or it's less about, like, the notes and more just, like, want to do a good job, want to present my best self, and want to perform at your best always, but not in the same kind of ways of, like, do I know this music, or am I confident on this solo, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's over time, you settle into that kind of thing, but you're still looking at a sea of people.
I was
you know
gonna say
what
that
mean?
Was
it's
a big
still
crowd.
A lot of people.
Yeah, that was a big like they had all the overhead cameras.
Yeah.
And that was a big crowd that came out to see Joe.
No, it was really special. It's always special playing for any size crowd. But of course, when there's a ton of people in the audience, you know, you can get stuck looking at individual people's faces and kind of forget what you're doing up there for a second. But yeah, it's always
Do
fun.
Do you ever look at the wrong face? Does that ever happen? Just looking at the person that you're like...
I don't think there's a wrong face, but if somebody is like... If you look at somebody while you're playing and they like are talking to their friend or something, like looking off to the side, you know, that can be a little deflating, but no, it's all love. You know, I've looked at enough crowds that are both attentive and not, you know, you're just playing for yourself. You're playing for the people on stage. You're playing for God and for, you know, the muse. So you can find different ways to latch on to sort of the reason behind what you're playing, and that can sort of carry you through those awkward moments.
And, I mean, another show you're going to be playing coming up October 11th. I mean, October is going to be a good concert month, I feel like, in Chicago. Like, we have all the cool people coming through town and putting on performances. But October 11th at Metro, you are going to be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Surf.
Yes.
Has it felt like 10 years?
It has and it hasn't. You know, sometimes when I'm listening to that music or working on the show, it can feel like it was just yesterday. I was in the studio, you know, working on this song or this particular moment with somebody, or remember the face they made when that one moment got recorded. And then sometimes I'm like, dang, 10 years? I'm old. Like, that was a long time ago. You know, the project came out 10 years ago, but it definitely took a while to make it, too. So I'm looking at some of these sessions from, you know, 2014 and end of 2013. And, yeah, it was just a lot went into making that music, too. So, yeah, it's going to be really fun to celebrate.
One could figure, just because of the amount of collaboration, the amount of collaborators that were on the album and features, But when it was, you know, even if you stream it now, it's just your name, right? And so I heard that was done purposefully.
It kind of was, and it kind of wasn't, actually. It was because when I dropped my solo project called Tell the Ghost Welcome Home in 2023, we wanted to ingest everything into one page. And so what we tried to do was have the Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment project surf under the Nico Siegel banner. And instead of doing that, they just changed the artist name to Nico Siegel. And that's the way that their algorithm was able to put it on one page with my solo album. Mm-hmm. So I actually never meant to change the artist name. The artist name is still Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. That was the artist that released that album. And I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud of that moment. I'm proud of the Social Experiment and all the collaborators, like you mentioned, that went into making that project. It was more so like a technical kind of thing that happened.
You talk about making this album for over a year. Is it crazy? Because I'm sure when you're with everyone making it in the studio, mm-hmm. everyone's losing it, right? Going crazy yeah. over each other's verses and, you know. But is there ever that thought of like, do we just think it's cool? You know, like, do we just think it's cool because it's here and then we release it and everyone's like, all right, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like you have an instinct. You have a certain amount of believing in what you're doing and a certain amount of intuition. But at the end of the day, you don't really know how people are going to receive it. And also everybody in the room might have a different favorite. You know, a story I often like to tell about Sunday Candy was actually when we went into the final mixing stages of the entire project, Sunday Candy was really low on my list of priorities to finish and be a song, you know, that would be a big part of Surf. And to his credit, it was actually Chance that was like, no, that's the one. Like, we got to work on that. We got to finish that. And it was, so it was at the very top of his list of things that he was excited about working on. And it was really at the bottom of my list. And it wasn't that I didn't like it or didn't believe in it, but it's just, again, you don't always know for sure how people are going to receive the music. So, yeah, I had a lot of other favorites before Sunday Candy. And I was just excited that he kind of took that song and really was like, no, we gotta, he really believed in it before a lot of other people.
And when we look at, you know, you work on this, you know, it's great. You know, everyone that worked on it is super talented. And then there's always that thing where you release it. It was released as a free download on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Surf was downloaded over 618,000 times in the first week, mm-hmm. with individual track downloads surpassing 10 million. The album's sounds and uncredited contributions featured artists like Erykah Badu, J. Cole, No Name, and it showcased your guys' like collective commitment. Mm. When it was released and it gained that traction, what was that like 10 years ago? Like, what did that feel like?
You know, I feel like in the moment, it was kind of hard to wrap my head around what was even happening. I mean, I was really excited about the music. I was really excited to play it for everybody I knew and play it for my family. And, you know, you think about the people closest to you and kind of how they're going to react. But you don't always know, like, what the public is going to think. And then when they embraced it the way that they did, it's just, we were playing so many shows and we were, you know, just kind of wrapped up in the whirlwind of like making music together. I know a lot of us were already thinking about the next project, you know, because it takes a while to release stuff too. You know, something people don't often consider is like the music was done for a while and then stuff trickled out and it takes time to put that stuff out. So in many ways, musically, I had kind of already moved on and everyone is kind of experiencing it for the first time. Yeah, you just kind of get lost in like what you're working on, what you're excited about, what your musical motivation is at the time, what sort of chords and what sort of sounds you're really inspired by at the time can change over the course of releasing the music that you just finished. So, yeah, it can be kind of tricky to like keep that momentum, keep that excitement and enthusiasm when you're like, I'm already done with that song. That song's been done for a year and a half. Like, you guys are just now embracing it and that's beautiful, but I'm like, I'm on to the next. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm already working on something else.
I have like a question, and this is for a lot of young kids listening, young artists that are listening. You know, of course, we look at heavily on this album, Chance and Peter Cottontail. And looking at the credits for Chance's new project, I see you're on it a lot and Peter's on it as well. And that was 10 years ago. For a friendship to maintain 10 years is one thing, but then also a musical relationship
yeah.
to remain. Those are like two different relationships that have to keep going.
Talk about it. You can't.
Yeah. What would be your advice? Like, what do you credit that to?
Oh, man. Well, my mom actually always told me, you know, you can't be a better musician than you are a person. And it's something Chance has often quoted in interviews as well. And just something we've shared with each other about, you know, keeping the person first, checking in on people and caring about them as people first. And then you get in the room together and create music and you're kind of on the same page. You know, if you forget the person, then the music is not going to reach the heights. It's not going to reach the creative sort of cosmos, the spiritual sort of place, if you haven't really checked in as people. And so, yeah, I think it's most important that we remain friends first and then musical collaborators. The music will always follow behind the person.
We played Wanna Be Cool. Do you have any memories of making that song?
Oh, yeah, tons of memories.
Is there one? I was really curious. I would really love to hear, like, maybe because it was 10 years ago, like a studio memory that really sticks out to you when you think about Surf.
That song specifically or any song on Surf?
You know what? That song or any song at this point, yeah.
Well, that song specifically, I remember getting Kyle's verse and hearing it for the first time and just being so excited by it. And it's like Kyle at the time was not as big of an artist as he is now. And, you know, so he was kind of an up-and-coming artist. And I remember him telling Nate how excited he was that he was on a song with Big Sean. And that sort of experience of like putting a kind of up and coming or younger artist on a song with a bigger, more well-known name and really having him sort of toe-to-toe, like standing up to that moment and really bringing it on that verse, I thought was just really special and very, you know, very indicative of what we were bringing to the sort of entire ethos of Surf and the collaborators and not putting everybody's name on there so that you can't let a celebrity name outshine the actual physical work that they did. And your favorite verse might be Big Sean's or it might be Kyle's, you know. The other tidbit a little bit about Wanna Be Cool is there was a kind of unreleased hidden Chance verse that existed that I often...
And we're going to play it right now.
And maybe you'll hear that at the show October 11th. Maybe not. I couldn't even tell you because I don't know if Chance even wants to do it, but it exists. And I've been listening to it. And it's really funny just to travel back in time and see all the different pieces that were and weren't used, you know, because there was a lot of musical information gathered at that time. And certain things wasn't even necessarily about is it good or bad. It was just what fit that moment, what fit that song, you know, what fit that time the best. So, yeah, shout out to Kyle for stepping up to the plate and being on a song with one of his, you know, favorite rappers at that time. Yeah, hopefully you'll hear that unreleased Chance verse at some point.
Yeah, again, the show at Metro is on October 11th. We are talking about the 10th anniversary, 10-year anniversary of Surf. It was released in 2015 by Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. Now, 10 years ago, I found an interview from 10 years ago. First of all, you look exactly the same.
Really?
You
oh, like, man, that's funny.
You really do. You, like, haven't aged at all. Because I was literally just watching it, and I see in front of me. I'm like,
That's so funny.
And they asked you, the interviewer asked you to describe the album in one word.
Mm.
And you couldn't pick one, so you said two. You said collaborative, and then you're like, jazz. Looking back now, would you still pick those?
Definitely collaborative.
Those one words.
I should have stopped there. No, I think I probably wanted to highlight jazz because that's always been a big part of my sound, a big part of how I look at song structure, how I look at the types of chords we were using. And yeah, there was a ton of jazz influence, not just from instruments like horns being heavily featured, but also in the structures of things, in the types of voicings we were using for chords. And I think jazz in itself is very collaborative and very, very much a team sport, so to speak. And so I think that was also at the core of why those words kind of went together in my mind, because jazz is very much about the communication between the people playing the instruments. And that sort of relationship is what we were kind of what the social experiment and, you know, and the people involved in the social experiment were doing in creating that album, is really feeding off each other and sort of reaching towards one goal.
You said almost that same exact thing 10 years ago.
That's crazy.
I just didn't have enough time to write it all down. But you said something very, very similar.
It must be true.
To that. Yeah, no. So it is. 10 years later, you still believe it. I was touched hearing about how you chose the trumpet. I think it's very funny because it was kind of like the last girl at the dance for you. I feel it was very much like, well, this girl's the last one left. Guess I got to dance with her. Said you wanted to do drums, too many drummers. You're like, okay, I'll do sax, like too many saxophone. And then you're like, okay, fine, I'll do the trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's really cool that someone could just do that. You know, like, you know how to play that many instruments. But in an alternate world, do you think you would have picked, like, who would we have had?
Well,
do you think you would have been a different artist if you had been able to pick the drums?
Well, my first instrument was actually congas, so percussion actually came first, and that's why I wanted to keep being a drummer when I switched schools in sixth grade into the specifically for the music program. It was because I had already been playing drums for about 5 years and really like loved percussion and drums and just all things rhythm. So I definitely, in another life, was a conguero playing a salsa gig, you know, night after night.
You're somewhere on an island on a beach bar, just playing the congas.
Definitely. I grew up listening to a lot of salsa music, so that's always been a big part of, like, my sound and how I look at music and what I'm interested in, you know, playing and just very much relate to that rhythm and that sound. So, yeah, probably congas would be my answer. I probably would have stuck with the congas more.
Will we ever get like a Latin inspired?
Well, you know, secretly it is kind of all over surf and all over a lot of other music I make. The one that comes to mind right now is the track Familiar. It was very loosely based off like a cha-cha type of rhythm where you can go and deep dive into that and dig into that. But yeah, there's percussion all over the album, and that song in particular comes to mind when I think of like the spirit of a lot of the Latin music that I grew up listening to.
I did love, though, even though in the beginning the trumpet was the last girl at the dance for you, you did say you felt the trumpet's the only instrument that you were able to register from your brain directly, like through your body with your mouth.
Well, that's, I think, you know, a goal of every musician and every instrument that we play is to have this immediate connection from what we're hearing to the instrument. And then out. I think that's a lifelong journey and just a testament to somebody working hard on their instrument so that the instrument and the idiosyncrasies of that instrument don't get in the way of what you're really hearing, what you're really feeling like playing. You don't feel stumped by the instrument. So I think it's just kind of everybody's goal is to kind of just speak and sing kind of through your instrument exactly what you're hearing, you know.
Has there been a lot of pressure over the 10 years for Surf 2?
Ooh. Surprisingly, no, because we've all collectively been releasing music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really at the core of it. I think once we started talking about doing an anniversary show and it became clear that we were still making music together, that's when people started asking, like, Surf 2, Surf 2?
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, maybe.
Because our intern found this post on Twitter.
Oh.
Where you are asking people if they want to be on Surf 2, and it's a poll.
Yeah.
Dang, bro, if you want to be on Surf 2, just. And then you had people poll. And the winner was Ask.
Yeah.
Just Ask.
Yeah. No, I think it was.
Are you trolling people?
Yeah, it was definitely a troll. It was definitely a troll to kind of test the waters, pun intended, to see, like, you know. Twitter has kind of fallen off in general, but it was just kind of a troll to see what the engagement would be and how people would react to the words Surf 2. We have made a lot of music together. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be called Surf 2, but there's a ton of music that in the works that we're still working on as a collective, I would say.
We're going to leave off. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We're going to leave off with Sunday Candy. You did tell us a memory you have. Do you have one more you could share before we play the song?
With Sunday Candy, okay, real quick. When we first made the beat, the engineer called the bounce of the beat Sunday Candy, and I asked him why, and he just said, I don't know. And then I sent it to Jamila, and she wrote a whole song around it, and the rest is history.
Really? That's like the best story I've ever heard in my life. I'm not even joking. All right, that's it. Nigo Siegel, Voclo Radio, 91.1 FM. Slowly, taking in my body like it's holy. I've been waiting for you for the whole week. I've been praying for you, you're my Sunday.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Voclo on Instagram at Voclo or on TikTok at voclo.radio. Dig deeper into the story at voclo.org.